This morning's scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Matthew chapter 6, 22 and 23. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?
Danny said his battery was low. How many here today could say the same thing? That's why we're here. Now, I'm not talking about the battery that is recharged by naps. Get that out of your mind. That's not why we're here. Some are here feeling the weight of grief, having lost dear loved ones. One I've talked to lost a job this week. And there's other stresses and strains in this life that pull at us, that weigh us down. And we think, why? Why do I keep on going? Why do I keep trying? And we're here in the presence of God to plug in, to let Him recharge our batteries. And He can do that. God can help us. And that's why we're here. And we praise Him for that. He cares about us. He wants to help us through the week. And that's one of the great purposes of worship, is to plug in, remind ourselves what is important in this life, and to look into that glorious glory that is God. We're glad you're with us today. We really are. Some are visiting with us, thankful that you have come our way, and hope you'll come back again if you have opportunity. If we can help in any way while you're here, please let us know. We'd love to help out. And do come back and join us anytime. Lord willing, we're going to meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. We have a special opportunity this evening, and that is to hear a report from the work that Jillian and Hunter Kittrell are doing in Haiti. Some of you are very familiar with that. You follow them on the internet. But if you don't know what they're doing, you really ought to come out and hear it, because they're involved in life-changing activities. And so I really hope you'll come and join us at 6 o'clock this evening and hear their report. Yes, I did just get back last night from New Orleans. It is true. I did not go to New Orleans for the purpose you may be thinking. About a year ago, the elders here at Central assumed the oversight of the work that is being done at the state prisons at Rome Mountain and Mountain City. I have gotten involved in it in a very active way, thanks to Marshall Danby and his great example. And we went down there. Marshall and I went down for the National Jail and Prison Workers Workshop. And I wish I could just share with you some of the things that were said and done there. Let me just sum it up very briefly by saying, I saw lives that were just dramatically changed. And I don't mean they're just avoiding evil now. They're doing that. But they are on fire for the Lord. They know the depths of sin, and they want to help other people get out of it. And talking with people like that, and with people who've not been in prison for their own crimes, but are there because they choose to take the gospel to those who are, that's been an amazing experience for me. And today, Marshall will be going back to Rome Mountain to lead worship there, and Chig Gunner's going to be going with him for the first time. Chig has volunteered. And we have others that are volunteering. Jordan Holt is now working with us, and Garrett McDonald and Billy Buselmeyer, and Dennis Russell has been certified as a volunteer. And we'd love to have more of you helping out. But thank God that the gospel is not bound. The gospel cannot be stopped by iron bars. And God can set people free no matter where they are. Praise God for that. And that's all I'm going to say about it right now, but if you want to get me going, just ask me about it later, and I'll be glad to tell you about it. But let's get our Bibles out now. Hope you've got your Bible with you, and that you will join me in studying the Word of God. I want you to follow the passages that you'll see listed on the screen. Turn to them. I'll try to give you time to get there before I begin reading them. And that way, you'll know if I'm really telling you what the Word of God says or not. I try incredibly hard to make sure that's all I teach you. But if I ever stray, please do me the favor. Love me enough to say, Tim, that's not what that says. That's not what that teaches. And let's work together to help each other get to heaven. Let's get into the Word. When I was a student at Fried Hardeman College, it was a college then, now a university, I had a friend who was from Pikeville, Tennessee. That's in Bledsoe County, and he told me that was the original Rocky Top. That's the one that they sang about. And he was very much a hillbilly like I was from Harlan County, Kentucky. But one weekend, he brought back from a visit home a cage with rattlesnakes in it. And it was in the room next to my room. I assured him that either the rattlesnakes or I were going to be leaving the dorm before dark. It was the rattlesnakes, I'm happy to say. But it got me to thinking as I prepared this lesson, you know, what if we bring something like that into our home? And especially if there are children in the home. Is that a smart idea? Now, some of you may be snake lovers, and you may say, oh, it's all right, Tim. We've taken all the precautions. Okay, that's fine if you want to do that. But in my mind, that's not really wise. Because accidents happen, cages open, snakes escape, and we might live to regret bringing them willingly into our homes. But what about if we invite into our homes strangers, total strangers, for the purpose of entertaining us? We have some time. We'd like for you to tell us some stories. We'd like for you to show us some pictures and just entertain us. And even though what they're showing us, we shouldn't be looking at, and even though the words they use, we should not be hearing, and the content of what they're talking about is not Christian in any sense of the word, we invite them back. Is that smart? It's not immediate like a rattlesnake, but is there not poison involved in that kind of transaction? What we're talking about, of course, is entertainment. We don't actually invite people into our homes physically, but we do invite them into our homes, don't we? We're talking about decisions. Decisions that we must make. Last week we talked about our appearance. And every day we make that decision. How will I appear to other people? And there are principles in the Word of God that should guide us. What about entertainment? When it comes to my desire to be entertained, is there anything to be concerned about? Is there anything that ought to guide me from the Word of God? Well, yes. Let's talk about it. Let's find out what God has said. First of all, let's talk about factors that ought to be considered regarding entertainment. Factors that ought to be considered regarding entertainment. Now, what is the state of entertainment in America? Well, first of all, let's talk about leisure time. Leisure time is simply time that I don't have to do anything necessarily. I've got some freedom about what I can do with that time. And what do we do with that free time? Well, we do a lot of different things. Some are involved in sports activities. Some are involved in lawn or gardening in a very aggressive way. Some are involved in visiting people. They like to get out and socialize with others. And then there are those times we like to just be entertained. And we will generally turn to television or the movies or the internet, and we say, okay, here I am, entertain me. That's what we mean by leisure time, and entertainment is one component of that. I want us to think about a couple of factors here that we need to realize, and I think we do realize it, but do we think about it enough? Number one, I think we need to consider the content of the entertainment that we decide to watch. The content. And I don't have to tell you, I don't have to give you any examples, that there is plenty of content that we really shouldn't be watching or viewing because it's very ungodly. It runs counter to our Christian values. And do we say, well, that's not going to really make any difference. I'm strong enough. It won't affect the way I think. Really? Do we know that? Or over time, a steady diet of it, could it affect the way I think, the values that I hold? And that's a matter that we need to think about a lot, the content of what we are watching. And secondly, and I think probably more importantly than the content even, though content is very important, the time we spend. The time we spend being entertained. An article that I found on a website called 538.com had this article in which they were looking at some statistics from 2014 published by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And here's what they said. Americans average 5.3 hours of leisure time per day. Think about that. 5.3 hours per day is the average leisure time that an American has. Now, you may be saying, I don't have near that much. Okay, others have a whole lot more than you. But that's the average. And then they break it down, 4.8 hours on weekdays, 6.5 hours on weekends and holidays, and over half that is spent on television. Over half of the average American's leisure time is spent watching television. And again, you may be the exception to that, and congratulations if you are. But there's a whole lot of people that are watching a whole lot of television, and that, I think, is a matter of concern. And keep in mind that as we're watching things on TV, as we're surfing the internet, watching videos or movies, we're generally very passive, are we not? It's not like we're engaging our minds. In fact, we kind of blank out and just watch whatever's there. We're passively receiving whatever is there. And in comparison, this same website looked at other things. Now, we spend over half of that 5.3 hours each day watching TV. What else do we do with our leisure time? Well, about 41 minutes on average is spent talking, visiting with friends, either personally or by means of phone or whatever, and 17 minutes relaxing and thinking, only 19 minutes reading. On the average, each day, only 19 minutes spent reading. In 1984, a fellow named Neil Postman wrote a book entitled Amusing Ourselves to Death. Amusing Ourselves to Death. I've not read the book, but I read something about it, and here's something that I found that describes his idea as it's a vision of the future, way out in the future. I don't think you have to go very far. In fact, I think it may be right now. But he sees a future whose public was oppressed by their addiction to amusement. Their addiction to amusement. In other words, I've got some free time, make me laugh. I've got some free time, make me cry. I want to get into a real tearjerker. And so we sit there passively and we accept whatever comes our way. We make that decision, whether it's a really thought out decision or maybe by now it is just a habit. There are some things in the Word of God that ought to be considered as we're talking about these factors to consider regarding entertainment. For example, Job 31 and verse 1. Job made a statement that I think applies really well to what we're talking about here. His friends had said, you know, Job, you may be suffering because you've done something really bad, and maybe it was because of something you did with a young lady that was not your wife. Job responds. Job 31 and verse 1. He said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then can I gaze at a virgin? Think about that idea. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Now, actually, the covenant is with God, but the covenant means that my eyes are going to be focused only on things that are right. Now, occasionally things come my way, and I can't help but notice them as they pass by, but I don't choose to go there. I don't choose to dwell on that. Job says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? Psalm 101, verses 3 and 4, David speaks here. And again, very similar ideas. David says in Psalm 101, verses 3 and 4, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. Now, sometimes the word worthless in the Old Testament refers to idolatry. But it doesn't matter. The idea is it's something we shouldn't be focused on. It's something we shouldn't be dwelling on. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. But those that spend massive amounts of time in front of the television watching whatever, they know a lot about evil. They allow it to stick. It's like walking through the woods in the autumn. You're going to come out of there with lots of burrs and beggar lice on your pants and shirt. They just kind of cling to you. And that's what's going to happen when we walk through this world of entertainment, mindlessly watching whatever comes our way. It will stick. But David said, it will not cling to me. I'm not going to let it be there. I will not let it be before my eyes. Again, Psalm 119, verse 37. Psalm 119 and verse 37, the psalmist prays a wonderful prayer, one that we ought to consider praying. Psalm 119, verse 37, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Now think about that decision. He's praying for God's help as he makes his decision where to let his eyes dwell. And he says, turn my eyes away from those things that I shouldn't be looking at, Lord, and let me look instead on things that are life-giving. And what about the statement we heard earlier from Matthew chapter 6, 22 and 23? Jesus there is talking. Jesus was talking in the context about allowing material things to become our God. But again, we're talking about a principle here. And listen to what he says. Matthew 6, 22 and 23, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? He's talking there about people that choose to dwell on things that are sinful. It is a decision I made. I'm going to watch this. Oh, I know they use language that is very bad and they use situations that are totally unchristian. But you know what? I really like the plot and I really love the character development. The light that comes into our souls comes through the eyes. And Jesus said, if our eyes are dark, if we're only allowing dark to come in, how great is that darkness? You know, our children sing a song, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Simple words, simple message. But maybe we ought to start singing that to ourselves before we turn on the television, before we go to the internet, before we go to the movie theater. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. In Amos chapter 6, talking about leisure time again, listen to what the Lord says to the people in Israel in that day. Amos chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. In a lot of ways, the situation is very similar to what we have in America today, because many of us are well-to-do. Not everybody in America is. But a lot of us have enough that we have leisure time, we have television, we have all kinds of comforts. Listen to what he says. Amos 6, beginning in verse 4, woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall. In other words, they're getting the choicest meats that are available. And he says in verse 5, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David, invent for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls, anoint themselves with the finest oils. Here's the real problem. They are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Don't tell me about Joseph's problems, they might say. I don't want to be burdened by that. I want to be entertained. I want to have something to make me smile and laugh. Don't talk about these things. Is that where we're at? So busy amusing ourselves, and yet so little concern for the problems all around us. How will God not indict us with similar words if that is our condition as well? Let's talk about developing a delight for something better. That's really the key to it. Like last week, we talked about appearance, and it's not really about me telling you what you ought to wear. I don't know the answers to that, but we ought to look to the Word of God. We ought to say, Lord, I want your Son to be seen in my life. Well, it's the same kind of issue here. When we're talking about what delights us, what pleases us, what is it that really delights us? Because, you know, we're going to make our decisions on how to be entertained, how to spend our leisure time based on what we are delighted with, right? I don't care about cat videos. Now, you may be, and that's okay with me. That's fine. But I'm not going to be searching for cat videos on YouTube. But the people that are delighted with that kind of thing, that's where they're going to go. What is it that delights me? What is it that I'm going to search for when I have some time to spend, that I don't have to be doing other things? How about looking to the Word of God and finding out what ought to delight us? Psalm 1, let's go there. We're going to look at four or five passages in the Psalms very quickly. All of them kind of say the same thing. But let's look at them. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Can we say that? Can we say, yeah, I delight in the law of the Lord too. And I open my Bible every day, and I spend quite a bit of time reading it and thinking about it. That's what David said. His delight, the one that will be blessed, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Psalm 40. Psalm 40, look at verse 8 of Psalm 40. And again, this word delight, same word in the Hebrew that we're looking at. Psalm 40 and verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I love doing the things that God tells me I should be doing, because you know what? When I do it, I find out that was the right thing to do. That was the best way for me to live. And now I delight in doing the will of God. Look at Psalm 111. Psalm 111, we're going to look at verse 2. And again, look at the word delight. What is it that ought to delight us? Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. The works of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? It might mean looking up in the sky at night on a bright, clear night and just thinking about all that God has made. It may be getting out and taking a walk in the woods and thinking, God made all of this. And it may be looking in the Word of God. It may be serving among His people. The works of God are studied by those who delight in God. You know, we're thinking about Him. That's the idea. Psalm 112, verse 1. Again, notice the word delight. Psalm 112 and verse 1. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. Again, can we say that about ourselves? Man, I can't wait to open the Bible. You know, I've got some free time. Turn off the TV. Let me read my Bible. That's what I delight in. Maybe we're not there yet, but we're going to get there, because that's our aim, to be blessed by God. And then Psalm 119 and verse 35. Psalm 119 and verse 35. Again, delight. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. to know that God is leading me. I mean, how much better can life get than to be led in life by God? And that's what we're doing when we take time to read the Word of God and meditate on it day and night. We're letting God lead us. Where is our delight? That's what's going to determine how we use our leisure time. That's what will determine what we decide when we turn on the TV. Not wrong to turn on the TV. There's a lot of good programs on there that will help us in some ways. But if we don't delight in God's Word and what He shows us, our decision will take us elsewhere. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17 doesn't use the word delight, but we see the idea there very much. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17, and just listen about this. This is talking about you and me and God. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Did you know God feels that way about you if you are His child? It's not a matter of, okay, come on in if you have to, but I really just stay out of my sight. That may have been how you were raised. I hope not. But that's not how God feels about you. God is glad you're in His family. He rejoices over you. He exults over you with loud singing. And we love to hear passages like that, don't we? That God delights in us. Do we return the same devotion to Him? Lord, thank you for loving me, but hey, I'm out of time. I've got to get home and watch my show. Delight. Delight in God, then the decisions will be a whole lot easier, what we do with our leisure time. One thing I hear from a lot of you, when I say, did you do anything good today, Sunday night, I'll say, did you do anything good today? And you'll say, well, I got a nap. Hey, I understand that. I get my naps on Sunday too, and a few other days as well. Is there anything else we do with our leisure time that will help our soul, that will draw us closer to God? Is there anything else that we can do with our leisure time that will benefit others around us, that needs somebody to say, I care about you, I'm thinking about you, I want to help you? Is there something else we could do with that leisure time other than just being entertained? These are decisions that we've got to make, and we do make them. Whether you realize you've made a decision or not, you have. How about we make the right decisions with God's help? And how about today, if you're not a child of God, making the right decision to become a child of God? You've heard the gospel how many times? And you know how much Jesus loves you. He died for you. And you know that that blood He shed on the cross can forgive your sins. So now, why not? Why not return the devotion to Him by saying, Lord, I am so sorry for the sins I've committed in my life. I will turn away from them. I will repent of them and face you the rest of my life. I will confess you before anybody, beginning here today. And I'll let somebody bury me in this grave back here, this watery grave, because I know that coming out of it, I will leave my sins behind and I'll be your child. Lord, today I come to you. And if you've done that, Christians, are we the church? Are we the called out? The ones who are called out of darkness and now walking in the light? Or are we still choosing darkness? If so, let's repent. Let's pray for strength and forgiveness. And let us help you. Let us encourage you, because we all need each other. Come right now as we stand and sing.